We're starting now in Matthew 18, another section. It's on the life in community. It's going to be a lot about forgiveness. And this is where Peter asked the famous question, and Jesus tells the parable about the fellow who owes the national debt and has it all forgiven. And then guy owes him $500 and he puts him in jail. But we'll be there. We'll get there. The first reading, we're still very early in Ezekiel, chapter 2. And anybody who thinks it's fun to be a prophet, just listen. See? The Lord God said to me, "Obey when I speak to you." You don't have a choice. You obey, you come with me. You don't, you go to hell. I mean, most of us can wander through life and stumble around and probably make it. You know? But if God starts talking to somebody, they don't have a lot of choices. And so it's great to be seeking the Word of God, but it's also an enormous responsibility. You hear from the Lord? Well, good. Do you do it? Or you just hear from him. That's great. Jesus, that was great advice. And then do nothing about it. So, be not rebellious like this house of rebellion. Now, this very symbolic way of taking in the word. You see, we did a bit of this, if you were there, on one night when we had that prayer workshop. Wisdom is very often, and the word is very often compared to bread or to water or to wine. In other words, you got to take it in. If there's a loaf of bread on the table and you're hungry and you sit there looking at it, you're never going to get over being hungry. You got to eat it. Well, it's the same with the word. You got to take it in. Except, once you get the bread inside of you, the body takes over, digests it, turns it into whatever we need, sends it around the body and all of it. The word's not like that. The word requires assimilation at every moment, yielding to it, obedience to it, attentiveness to it, you see. So that's what it says, you know, eat it, take it in, work with it. And so then, he saw a hand outstretched, written scroll, and he had to eat that scroll. And on it was lamentation and wailing and woe. This is going to be his prophetic vocation, along with such promises of restoration and love. You know, we have the famous text in Jeremiah, which is then picked up by Ezekiel about the new covenant. And he said, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Now that you've taken it in, go speak. But if you don't take it in, if you just read about it and tell everybody else, this is what the Lord said, it means nothing. You've got to take it in. Every night, every morning, I say, go preach the gospel. You say, thanks be to God. Then you're saying, I agree to take it in. Have it dominate my life, rule my life, get rid of my vices, my ego, my sensuality, my small-mindedness, my self-centeredness, the whatever. Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, fill your belly, fill your stomach with this scroll I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said, now go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. Only if you've taken them in. You know, that's one of those, what can I say, theme songs for preachers. You can read it and talk about it, and oh, brilliant, Father, that was great. You know, but nothing happened. To the people or to the priest? unless he takes it in. Or anybody else who wants to preach the gospel. Take it in. You're on a high road to great death to self. And you're lucky. But if you don't take it, you're one of the professionals out there. Okay. Then Psalm 119, which is so beautiful. It's all about the law, the Torah. And then these two incidents. The text runs from verse 1 to 114, but they skip a lot. I don't know why they do that. Now the disciples have a crucial question. Really important question. Who's the greatest? That's their question. Why do they tell us these things? Because they love us, and they want us to say, look what jerks we were. Don't imitate that. Don't try to be a big shot in the kingdom. Be a little shot in the kingdom, and then you're a big shot. Because only the little shots are big shots. Most of the huge, humongous saints will be all up there with the cherubim and seraphim are people we never heard of. Okay. So he called a child over. And of course, whoever becomes humble like this child, that's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives such one in my name receives me. If you've got an eye for the goods and you see somebody who's great in the kingdom and you help them, you serve them, you befriend them, you're in good shape. But it takes a good eye to see them. Huh? I don't know why this reminds me of this, but out in Colorado, where there's a lot of horses, and they ride them. In fact, the monks out there in Snowmass punch cattle every day on horses. Horses are important. You've got to be able to tell a good horse from a bad horse. A strong horse from a weak horse. A cooperative horse from a rebellious horse. You got to look at them and tell. Don't buy that one. Okay. And then, goes on, take care. This is terrifying. When you think of the sex education in grammar school. Not only is it not necessary, it moves these kids into sin. How much addiction to pornography on the internet starts in first and second grade? Ooh. Don't despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, there are angels in heaven. Always look upon the face of my Father. It would be terrifying to have scandalized a child. And then, here, we have this brief parallel. It's the parable that's expanded in Luke's account, right? The lose a sheep, go look for it, find it, celebrate. It's just gives you an idea. You see, God looks out for these little ones. He protects them. And he's quite capable of destroying those who corrupt them. That's one of the judgments. Corrupting the young and abortion are our two great sins.